I wanted to kind of think about some things as far as we, when we live, we need to have the kind of life that, and we do have, we need to be very obedient to God's word. And we need to consider it and think about it and how we do each day of our life as we go. What kind of an impression are we leaving? And I think the Bible is very, very much thinking about it. So we have an influence, we have a reputation, and we need to think about what the Bible teaches us along that line. You know, we have a good example before everybody, or we have a bad example before everybody. And our world is lost in sin and needs to hear the gospel. And the kind of life that we live will determine how much influence we have on people to do that which is right. And the way that we influence people in different ways, I was thinking of this. One, it is our speech and how we talk that will be an influence on some people. For instance, I can give you an example, and I may have. The tables at the senior center, different ones set at different tables. There's one table I don't want to sit at because the speech is so bad. And we are going to be judged by our speech. And we see that, of course, in Matthew chapter 12. Another is what we do. People go and observe what we do. And there are many things that we do that could do that is discouraging to people and doesn't draw them in any way to what God has to say for us. I think another is, as we think about faith, if we live faithfully, people will begin to recognize that and know it after a time. And we need to consider that as well. And that would be our spiritual obeying God. And people observe that. And you might have the opportunity to, in some way, to influence them. You know, I kind of wanted to give you those things to start with. But now then, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, I tell you, in Matthew, if you start with chapter 5 and go through chapter 7, it's really important. But we're going to look at verses starting in verse 13 in chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and then I want us to think about it. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Here, the use of the word salt. I was kind of surprised a little bit in just seeing how many times that word was used in the Bible. But when we think about salt, think about in the times past. Salt has been a kind of a healing wound. You'd put it in healing wounds. It was used kind of physically. And we know, of course, it is used to put in food and so on. So it has places that here, and I think the use of it, as we see, was probably the healing in the time past. And there are many wounds to be healed out there where we live, especially as we think of spiritually, and he's talking about spiritually here. So if you are the salt of the earth, are you going to provide that example that people can see and heal their wounds that they have, their sins, be able to furnish the gospel to them, and they will recognize it, that you're the salt? You know, well, many are sinners, and they need that healing, and you're the salt to bring them to the Lord and understanding. Let's notice also, and it helps us, I think, as some, as we think about it. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and chapter 12 and verse 9, it says here, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I think in a sense we see, if we're the salt, that we can see that we have the power, and Christ is going to protect us in that if we are provided. Another place there, while you're in, turn back to 1 Corinthians, and this time in chapter 10. Now, in chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but while with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So as we think about it, we're the salt to help heal the wounds of people, and that is by our example and us being an influence and having a reputation of being Christians and guiding people in the right way. You know, if you're living right, some will finally come to want to know, and maybe you're the one that they will ask. And I think that's the point we need to see. But we also note that he said there that, you notice, read the verse again, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor," what would that mean? That means that we have went back into sin. And here he says, "With shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." If we've lost our influence. Now, you have to notice that in the writing it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." So we must live as God wants us to if we're going to be the salt. But notice he goes on in this chapter. Let's go a little further. Let's read 14 and 15. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now there's that word again. You are. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it is given light unto all that are in the house. So here we see then we are a light. Being Christians and living out in this world, we are the light. And after all, when we think about it, sinners that are out there in the world, they need the light. They need the light. In other words, we must, by our influence and our reputation and our living as we should live, we're a light that can attract them to want to know what to do, to be Christians. And I think that's what we see. And you can't hide it, you know. And if we're the light, what is one of the first things we're to do? If we're the light, I think without a doubt, you need to just notice in Matthew chapter, we read it oftentimes, Matthew 28. And in Matthew 28, he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Without a doubt, us being the light, we can improve things by taking the Word of God out so that the people that need it can hear it and understand it, you know. And I think without a doubt, that's one of the things that he means here in this verse as he was giving it. You know, I notice if you back up to the very first part of that chapter 5, for instance, look at verse 1. This gets the setting for the whole chapter. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and this is continuing through this chapter. Matter of fact, it goes all the way to the first verse in chapter 8. Notice the first verse in chapter 8. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." And we see that no doubt as time went, he not only had the disciples, but they had a great multitude that was asking and wanting to know questions. And the fact that we see here, we are the light. We're the light for sinners to see Christ and to learn his word. You can't, as you think about hide the light, it has to be out where it's available for them to see. Now let's turn to Philippians just a minute. In Philippians, I want you to look at chapter 4. And I want you to look at there in chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 5. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." What? Let people know where you stand and can observe you and know that they can depend on what you're saying and what you're doing. And we have a responsibility to take the word to them so they can hear it, understand it. You know, as we think about the book of Acts, I've often thought that if you went to Acts chapter 16, You know, I want this, Acts chapter 16, notice there in verse 30 and 31. 30 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Here, without a doubt, we see that he observed Paul and Silas, and in so doing, it has brought him to a place. They were the light that shined, brought them to such a place that he wanted to know what to do to be saved. And what we need to do is become people that living as God wants us to, not sinning, not doing those things, being examples, being an influence, and knowing your how you influence them, and all be like the jailer here in that damn time wanted to know what to do to be saved. And we see that they took it to him that way. So let's notice again. Let's go back to our chapter there a minute. In chapter 5, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we want to do. Let people see and know the good works. The sad thing is, there are so many people in this world that don't know, don't have any idea. You know? 2 Corinthians again. I've been studying, of course we studied 1 Corinthians. I'm getting ready to start 2 Corinthians at Stratford in the senior center. But I want you to notice in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They're the ones that need the light because they don't know the gospel. Many of them don't even know there is a gospel. You might read the rest of that verse there. Let's go again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we see, we are the glorious light, the earthen vessels to spread that gospel and have it ready for others so they can come to a salvation like the jailer did. in Acts chapter 16 and all his family. So we must have, and must be, a light unto the world. Think about what we're reading there in Acts chapter 5. Look at that again. Verse 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What a responsibility that we have. Think about it. We're the salt of the earth. Spiritually, what if we didn't have the salt? We're the light of the world. Ye are the light. What if we don't shine? We'd be like the salt. If it's no good, what's it to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man? You're the light. We're Christians and we need to live that life. If you're some reason or other not a child of God, we're here to provide that for you. Believe, repent, and be baptized. If you've done that, now you're the light. You're the salt. Have you lost your salt? Have you lost your light? You need to come forth and renew it. Get it started again.